This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Days till Christmas, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
I don't know if that excites me or stresses me out. I can't tell.
Let's start over. 1 year and 6 days till the next Christmas, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
Oh, I'm in a happier place already. I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for December 19th, episode 1591, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
I saw three horses come running in on Christmas Day, on Christmas Day. I saw three horses come running in on Christmas Day in the morning. They want to listen to Glenn and Jamie on Christmas Day, on Christmas Day. Oh, what they want to listen to, horses in the morning.
Well, that was Robin Donaghy singing for us this morning. Thank you so much, Robin, from last year. We really appreciate that. Good morning, Jamie. Welcome back. Did we lose Jamie?
Oh, here I am.
Oh, okay.
I think I'm here.
Thought we lost you. Welcome back.
You did. I don't know what happened. That was weird. I'm back. Sorry.
Well, we appreciate you being here, and to a couple more days left of live shows, and then that's it for 2016.
You're going on vacation. I just got back from vacation, and then you're going to go. What are you going to do? Nothing?
Well, no, actually, we're heading home for the first time. Jennifer's family for the first time in, I don't know, 10 years. We're heading back to family in Pennsylvania. So back to the cold. Nobody wants to hear this because it's been, what, minus 30 in the north, and everybody's been posting their pictures, but it was the hottest. We broke a record for heat here in Florida yesterday. It was almost 90.
Oh, my gosh.
And humid as hell. It was like summer. We walked outside and went, oh, my God. So I don't know how we can be breaking heat records when just above us, they're breaking cold records.
Farewell to everybody that just hung up on you.
So, yes, we are heading back. We had to buy winter coats because we pretty much didn't have any anymore. So we're going to be doing that this year. And then we're coming back and going to be having some fun here at the farm for a couple days, too.
Good. Well, I think there should be a rule that anybody who lives in a warm climate should not have to travel to where it's cold. Because I have to go to Oklahoma. And yesterday I was looking at the thing, and it was like minus 10 was the low, and maybe eight was the low, and with minus 10 with the wind chill, and then it was gonna snow. And I was like, why the hell am I going there? Those jerks should be coming here. I don't get it.
are you going to have to buy a winter coat too, or do you still have some?
I still have some. I didn't throw everything away in the move like you did. Actually, I think I bought it here. It's a riding coat. Everybody, I'm going to smell like horses in Oklahoma, so, you know, get used to it. My horse coat.
Well, everybody's going home for the holidays, and of course that is, you know, if weather allows. That's always the case. With air flights, as your husband knows, he's probably been canceled out quite a bit here lately with all of the weather.
Well, I was going to tell all the auditors, because they always post on the Facebook page that when they're on American Airlines flights, they always try to look in the cockpit and see if it's Chad. So if you do walk into an airplane, he will be on the right seat. However, if you do walk into an airplane, you're lucky to take off at this point. As many flights that have been delayed or missed recently, I'm just shocked at why anybody would travel on the Christmas holidays. It's just crazy.
Don't say all this stuff. I had to talk Jennifer into going home.
I agree. Can we get our money back on those tickets, Lynn?
See, I had to talk her into going home. She's like,
the riding weather is going to be perfect down here. I'm going to miss on 5 days of riding.
Here's the deal, Jennifer. You stay home and I'll come visit you.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go.
Crazy. Hey, Jennifer, what is coming up on today's show, by the way?
Coming up on today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, on this, the final Monday of 2016, we're going to chat with Morgan Wagner about her adventures aboard Endo the Blind Appaloosa, who competes in working equitation, which includes jumping things, and she also does some extreme, not regular, extreme trail riding with him. And then after the break, we're going to chat with Leslie from Horse Nation one last time this year. And at the very end of the show, cleaning things up, the most interesting goat in the world's Cheetos provider, Mary Kitzmiller, is going to stop by with a really big announcement. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
And Mary's also going to do a review. She's going to do her first movie review. And those that listen to Mary's episode knows she's a huge movie nut. She knows everything about movies. And she's going to stop by and review Star Wars for us. No spoilers, Jamie. No, we haven't seen yet either. So we're hoping to see that over the break. It is Daily Winnie time. Well, we kind of already did my Daily Winnie. My Daily Winnie was going to go out to my wife, who I had to convince to fly north to go home for the holidays. And it took some convincing because she said, I'm never going back to the cold and never going back north in the winter again. So I wanted to give it to my lovely wife to make her feel better about agreeing to do this when it's sub-zero up there.
Yeah, this is not going to make her feel better about it. Nice try.
I tried. I'm trying. I'm just buttering every piece of bread I can find here.
But honey, I gave you a Daily Winnie.
Well, where do you want? Those are coveted.
You know how much that flies with my husband? Be like, baby, but I gave you a Daily Winnie. He's like, I don't care. We have too many animals.
That's right. Not another animal. You're pretty soon not going to be able to find a babysitter. They're going to look around and go, no way in hell.
Yeah. I know. I'm going to have to really tip our farm sitter this Christmas. My Daily Winnie goes out to, I mean, it just has to. You were without racing news for too long. I'm sorry. California Chrome. Good God. They just get better with age, don't they? Like fine wine. He went out and ran a race this weekend, kind of a prep race for the Pegasus World Cup. And, well, let's just take a listen to it.
This is not about anything other than one thing, the fans. This is for the Chromies.
And it was a perfect start for California Chrome on the outside. He's hustling away. So is Presidensky along the inside. And Lucky Jaylene between those two with one lap to go. Avanti Bello going to sit just off the pace today. He's fourth with Point Piper a close-up fifth outside of Howdy, who will save ground for the run into turn. Now coming one path off the fence and going to challenge for the lead. Wrightwood is following him. Unusual meeting in tight quarters. They're pretty well bunched for the run around the first turn, as the entire field only separated by six lengths. Trailers ain't misbehaving, and Papa Cool, Papa Cool. The opening quarter was moderate, 23-3, and a good battle up front. It's Presidensky, the inside, Howdy just hounding him from the outer. Lucky Jaylene way out in the center of the track, and Wrightwood down along the fence. California Chrome is racing way out in the center. He's now a joint fifth and only three lengths off the lead, but he's starting to move, and California Chrome is getting closer, and Point Piper is also going with an early run as they line up five across the track. Going into the turn, 47-2 was the opening half mile. Point Piper has already come calling for the lead, but California Chrome is going even better. And California Chrome, five wide on the turn, has swept right on by for Victor Espinoza as they reach the top of the stretch of the Winter Challenge. And California Chrome is opening up now on Point Piper. Here he is, California Chrome, the richest horse in the history of North America racing, and he's gliding home in the Winter Challenge and capping off a spectacular 2016 season to the delight of all of his hometown fans. He won by eight.
He couldn't talk about anybody else because California Chrome was so far ahead. He was like reaching to figure out what to say.
I don't know that been said. Victor was even carrying a whip. He didn't use it.
He never uses it. He doesn't need it. It's just that horse is absolutely amazing. And what a treasure it's been to watch him. And we're all going to be very sad when he's gone, because you just can't help but pull for the little redhead there. And so the Pegasus is January 28th, just so you know. And I was looking at the ticket prices, and
we're not going to the events.
No, you're not going to go. The like infield tickets are $100 a piece. The minimum price for just a crappy grandstand seat is $180. Box seats, $220. Some tickets are up to $765 for some of the seats.
Whoa.
That's a Gulfstream Park race.
Yeah. We're not talking great. Keeneland here.
No, this is not the Derby. This is not the Preak Belmont, you know, with a horse that's about to win the Triple Crown. This is like just a new race that they've instituted. So that's going to be really exciting. So definitely watch out for that.
I wonder now, if the Reeves can help us get press passes, Jennifer. Because I was going to say we should go down for that, but it would cost us like $500 to get in. Now, you did say Dean Reeves is coming on in January to talk about it, right?
January 9th, he's coming on. Yep.
Because he has a spot.
By that time, hopefully he'll know what horse he's going to be running. Because I should think they should have to declare by the second week of January, you would think.
That's crazy. They bought I didn't know they had a spot.
Yeah, they bought a spot, and now they're looking for a horse to fill it. Yeah.
Here we go. Mucho Macho Man coming out of retirement.
Coming out of retirement.
Because those spots were $1 million. It wasn't cheap.
$1 million. You're gambling, basically. And you're gambling against California Chrome. So that's really... that's going to be good. Now, here's the other good news. Congratulations to California Chrome. Because you remember the Vox Populi Award, excuse me, I translate to voice of the people, and the five-year-old chestnut just became, for the second year in a row, the winner of the Vox Populi, or the voice of the people award. That's award that Penny Chenery started, the Secretariat Award, basically. So congratulations to him, 2 years in a row. So that just goes to show you how many fans, because this is voted on by the committee. The nominees are submitted by the committee and Penny Chenery, and then it's voted on by the people. Just what a horse. I mean, this horse is going to go down in history, already has, really.
Yeah, already has.
Congrats, Chrome. We're Chromies.
And he didn't even get a workout in that race. I mean, when he said he was 8 lengths ahead, when I was looking, I was going more like 20.
He broke the track record. I mean, he broke the record. That's crazy.
He broke the track record on a hand ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the jockey just looked like he was sitting up there finishing Rolex, you know, just just sitting
Victor's
here.
Victor's up there filing his nails, you know, looking around, hanging out.
Well, it was a fun weekend. I want to find out about yours, but I got to tell everybody a follow-up from Friday's show. If you listen to Friday's show, Dave Jackson was here. Lisa Wysocki was filling in for Jamie. Dave Jackson of the School of Podcasting was here, one of my mentors, really, and when I need help, he's the one I call. And he was here and had a great time. We had him read a really bad ad, because he loves really bad ads. He actually listens on Fridays. And so he knew all about what really bad ads were. And Jennifer found one that was all about poop. So we had him read that one, and we made him read it in a Southern accent. And he actually did very well. And awesome. He had so much fun, he played it on his show this weekend. So he took that little segment and played it on his show. So he had so much fun.
All his equestrian listeners are just thrilled.
But he did a great job too. He has always had a fear of horses. And you know, we don't meet a lot of people that do out here, but you said you do with the military and everything with the Air Force. But he has a fear of horses. Well, after they continued filming, and we did a lot of filming for the Messengers movie, and Jennifer took him out to the barn. And well, I'll let Jennifer tell the story. But he got to alleviate his fear a little bit, didn't he, Jennifer?
He did. We got Scooter's favorite toy, the big purple ball, out, and he got to be the clicker trainer for Scooter and give him his carrots whenever he pushed the ball around, and it was very exciting.
He did it, and Scooter
had the ball all over the aisle. He kept kicking it out of the aisle. He was in such enthusiasm. Yeah.
Yeah, he kept doing anything he could to get those treats. But Dave, you know, Scooter's very good for that because he has little, very sensitive lips, and he's very dainty when he takes the stuff out of your hand.
You didn't give him a good, I mean, what a wimpy way to get a guy to like a horse. Here's a 12-hand pony.
Yep.
11-hand pony who's like 80 pounds soaking wet.
Yeah, he was a little intimidated by Nigel, who, by the way, looks huge now because he's gained so much weight. He just looks big, and he has a big head.
Hey, careful. Careful.
He's a big head, and so he looks much bigger now, especially when you put the two side by side.
Jennifer, are you wearing horse-sized bridles or warm blood tack?
Oh, everything he owns is oversized. Yeah.
Okay. So he's a big clunky guy.
He is
boy.
A big clunky guy. But he's got big lips. He's very careful with his lips too. Now, Beaker, you would never do that with Beaker because Beaker used to just attack.
Pony at this place will take your hand with you.
Oh, yeah.
So. Yeah. Yeah.
But, Scooter's good for that because he's very dainty and delicate, and he takes his little lips and he gets it right out of your hand without it barely even touching you. So Dave had a good time, and he said, my fear, and he even went out by himself then and did selfies with Scooter. I posted one of them. That was very funny. But he did some selfies with Scooter, so we overcame it a bit, and then they finished wrapping up their filming here for the Messengers movie, and we're excited to see that. That'll be the end of February. We get to see the premiere of that. And I heard a little bit about, I think the Horse Radio Network is going to play a big role in it. So I heard a little
Fantastic.
Bit about it.
Fantastic. Yep. That's great.
So it's going to be
so
fun.
Exciting.
And you were posting pictures from your vacation skiing and do all kinds of fun stuff.
Oh my gosh, we did so much in just a couple of days. Yeah, I don't realize how awesome Flagstaff is. The only time we ever go there, Chad, like, we never leave the horse trial. There's a place called Coconino for horse trial. And whenever we go to Flagstaff, that's where we stay. We're just there. So it was interesting to kind of explore the city of Flagstaff. We went skiing. Lucas had a great time skiing. We went putt-putt. We did everything that you could possibly do with a three-year-old, including the Polar Express. Oh my gosh. You drive over to Williams. It's about 40 minutes from Flagstaff. And this, they recreate the movie. So
that's the Grand Canyon train, right?
Yes, it is a Grand Canyon train. They don't go to the Grand Canyon. I didn't know what they were going to do. Is it a loop? But basically you go out and then they just back it up and bring it back. But it was so magical. And having a kid on, I get it. It's so, they really did a wonderful job. The train was all decorated. And when you climb in, by the way, there was 1 billion people.
I bet.
I mean, I had to buy my tickets like months
ago. It's like going to see Thomas the Tank Engine's the same way.
Oh my gosh. But Lucas watches the movie year round. So he knows all the lines. He knows all the songs. He was watching, Polar Express in March. Like, dude, let it go. It's going to be a while. But he loves it. And there's the part you get on the train and then they serve hot chocolate and they play that hot chocolate song from the movie. And then they bring cookies out. And then you're riding the train. And you're going to go through the magic tunnel. And you go through the magic tunnel. And oh my gosh, it's this tunnel with all these crazy lights. It's so cool. And then all of a sudden, you're in the North Pole. And you're riding. And you're in the North Pole. And you can look out the window and see Santa Claus sitting there. And you keep going. They're like, hey, let's back up and go by again. And you back up again. And Santa's gone. Where did he go? Oh my God, he's in the train. So then Santa comes around and meets every single person on the train. They must have had 12 Santas pulling this gig.
Did he scream?
Santa just basically walks by and gives every child a bell, if you've seen the movie. Oh my gosh, it was so magical. He was like standing up on the seat, jumping, Santa's on the train! It was adorable, adorable. And we took the 5:30 train. There's another one at 7:30. Thank God, because they just can't contain that much excitement. It's just too much for a child to like manage all of that stimulation. And I mean, every kid is like passed out on the seat on the way back, driving backwards back to the station. So we were glad our we chose the earlier one, you know. So it was really, really cool, really well done. If anybody has an opportunity to do something like that, do it, because you're, even if you don't, like Chad and I would have enjoyed it. We sang Christmas carols all the way home. I feel like Christmas is over. We're done.
Well, I'm glad he liked it. Didn't like scream bloody murder when Santa came around.
Yeah, he didn't freak out. We did have another friend with us, Lucas's little friend Carter, who's about 3 months younger than him, and he was stared at everything like a hungry wolf. He was just kind of like a little overwhelmed, looking around, not quite sure what to do, and Lucas bouncing on the, I guess that's a difference in 3 months. Plus, my child has seen Polar Express 427 times, so that helped.
Well, good. I'm glad that went okay, and I know how crowded they get, because we've been around trains when Thomas is there, and they'll have queuing lines and traffic control, and it's just crazy.
Now Santa goes, you know, what do you want for Christmas? And he's like, I want a dirt pile and the Thomas the Train Sky High Bridge Jump.
A dirt pile.
Did you say dirt pile? Yes. He wants a dirt pile. That's
what
he wants.
He's a true farm kid.
So because we're going to Oklahoma, Santa Claus is going to have to come a little early. And on Wednesday morning, Santa's sending his dirt pile truck because we need dirt anyway for the stalls.
Well, you know what? You can go out to your farm. There's nothing but dirt at this point.
No, he needs a pile, Glenn.
Oh, a pile.
Dirt pile. Oh, yeah. Okay. So we actually needed about 15
He's
tons
He's spoiled.
Of dirt
we had to dig our own pile.
I know. He's spoiled rotten. So you went to TSO, speaking
of
holiday
season. Yeah, we went to TSO.
Season.
We went to Trans-Siberian Orchestra yesterday. And this is probably, we think, our fifth time that we've been. We started going back in the 90s. And it's just, I mean, I feel like I'm ready for Christmas now. Once we see TSO, it's kind of like, okay, now we're good. And it's a new show since we saw it last. They changed it last year, so we got to see the new show. We didn't go last year, and that was kind of fun. But then they play all the old favorites that you hear on the radio all the time, too. I do not know how they did a show Friday night. I don't know where that one was, but they did a show Friday night, and then they come in, and they're set up for a 3:30 afternoon matinee. And you may think that doesn't sound like anything, but we counted. They have 10 tractor-trailer trucks parked out there for their equipment. 10 wow. Tractor-trailer trucks. They have these booms, these light booms, that come down from the ceiling with walkways and gangplanks and all this stuff that the entertainers go on. That's all off of hydraulics on the ceiling. And these booms that are incredible light booms that do all kinds of stuff during the show. And then they have something set up at the complete opposite end of the arena that comes up and shoots fire and all that. I don't know how they set all that up in a couple hours. They did say they have 100 backstage hands to set everything up. 100. I don't know how they
travel. Are those like roadies for the TSO?
Yes.
Groupies?
These are the guys who, you know, the stagehands that actually set everything up. There's 100 of them.
Now, see, I mean, in my world of the rock music and all that, anytime you would walk, you know, if I had to walk outside or something, there'd be people trying to get on the bus. You know, chicks trying to get on the bus.
I don't know.
Does that happen with the TSO orchestra? Like,
I don't know.
Oh my God.
Well, there's
totally
a lot of TSO
awesome
groupies
dude.
There. That's for
he
sure.
Was so hot. He's the third chair violinist. It's amazing.
Well, there's been guys who have been doing, well, the main guy who's playing the bass or the guitar, I don't know which, he has been with them 21 years. So there are some of the cast here, I'm thinking like an actor, some of the band members have been there that long. Now, what's interesting, and this has got to be tough, the main part of the orchestra, there's probably 10 of those, 10, 15 of them. The main part of the orchestra are locals. So they use locals from the local orchestras every town they go into. They got to learn all those songs for like 2 performances. And they play the whole time. I mean, they're playing for every song, whereas the singers will rotate in and out and stuff like that. It is incredible to see that. Now, we always have this game we play, and where we keep an eye on old people who come, on seniors who come, who think they're coming to an orchestra. And there were 2 right in front of us. There was this older married couple, probably in their 70s, who were sitting right in a row in front of us. They made it about 20 minutes. Before they bailed.
Really?
Yeah, they bailed out. You would think before you spent $200 on tickets that you would at least pull up a video of what you're coming to and that you would determine that it's not really an orchestra, more of a rock band. before you spend $200 to come see it. And it is very loud. So but there were a couple that we saw bail out. And then the ones who were there for the first time, he comes out, main guy comes out about halfway through and starts talking and thanking everybody and introducing everybody. And if you didn't know better, you would think it was the end of the show. And a lot of people bailed out there, and that's halftime. And then they start playing again for another half of the show. And a bunch of people bailed out at that point, too.
So
you really...
Well, let's define a bunch. There were 10,000 some odd people there and 50 people left.
Yeah, but it was interesting to see the people just in our section that left. I'm going, they don't know. They don't get it. But it was fun.
Yeah. I mean, because when you talk about going to see it, I'm like, I can't imagine you sitting through an orchestra.
No. You know what's funny? Huh? Neil, who is our editor, who's truly hip-hop from inner city L.A., you know, he wears his hat sideways, baggy pants, all that stuff. Neil went to see it for the first time in Tampa last night and said, it's kind of like going to an 80s rock concert. And when he said that, I thought, yeah, it kind of is like that. It kind of is like going to with modern pyrotechnics and all that, and lasers and stuff. But it is kind of like 80s rock, heavy rock music. But he said he had a great time. And he's very hip hop.
Good.
So it was fun. We had a great time. We always do when we go to CTSO, and they did not disappoint this year. And I see a bunch of our listeners and auditors went as well. So we're glad you all liked it. Well, we have our first guest coming up here in a minute, but first I want to take this opportunity to thank Omega Alpha for everything that they have done for our show over the last almost 6 years now. They have been with us from the beginning. We love their products. And of course, they're all natural products or something we talk about all the time. We know, you know, just judging by the auditors, how many of you are using their products and really like them. You hear Jamie and I talk about their products all the time. Dr. Chang comes on once a month. But we just want to thank them for their support and for everything they've really done for helping this show succeed and be as successful as it is. And we appreciate the fact that you support our sponsors and that you go out and actually try their products. That's all we ask, is that you give them a try and you support our sponsors. So when you're thinking about a problem you have with your horse, take a look at, you know, Omega Alpha first and go out and give their products a try and see if they work for you. You know, we know they work for us, but we're glad when you give them a shot and see if they work for you as well. They certainly have been there with us every week. I mean, they have not missed a week in almost 6 years now.
They're amazing. Yeah. And right now, just so you know, my go-to Omega Alpha product is the Equicel Light, because the horses don't drink quite as much and the winter time. And so this is an electrolyte, but it also has, so it's got the sodium chloride and the potassium and the magnesium on the calcium and all those four things that are fantastic. But it also has branched chain amino acids and glutamine. So you give it, you know, either before when you want them to drink more, but you also can give it after exercise, and it's great for muscle repair. So because it's got all those amino acids, it really, really helps the horses out, because, you know, you don't realize how hard you're working your horses in the wintertime all the time. And it gives them a little added recovery. So anyway, that's what I love.
And which one is that?
That's the Equicel Light.
Equicel Light. And you can find it at OmegaAlphaEquine.com. Just look for OmegaAlphaEquine.com. And before we get to our first guest, I just wanted to let everybody know that Wednesday is our final live show with Jamie and I and Jennifer of the year. And we, as tradition holds, we always ask for callers that day. So if you get a chance to give us a call on Wednesday between 9:30 and 10:30 Eastern Time, we would love to hear from you, chat about whatever. Chat about your year, the holidays. We don't care, because it's our last day and we really don't care what we talk about. So we're just here to have fun with you guys. So give us a call on Wednesday between 9 and 10:30. The number's on the website at horseinthemorning.com, or give us a call at 435-272-1997.
That's not that different, Glenn.
No, than on normal really days. That is true. Victoria will be here for her last time as well. So if you want to call in and talk to Victoria and congratulate her on her pregnancy, or just thank her for being with us for 5 years, you can do that. We would love to have some listeners call in to talk
to
Victoria.
Jennifer, do not take calls from my mother in that segment.
Need to write down
her
name and number.
She doesn't listen to me. She listens to Victoria's segment. My mom would be like, oh my gosh, Victoria. Okay, tell me about your babe. It'll go on too long. Do not take calls from my mother.
All right, we'll keep that in mind.
Like, we're so backed up right now. We're busy.
Sorry, too many calls. Make sure you give Jennifer.
You're breaking up.
Make sure you give Jennifer her number so she recognizes it when she calls.
Okay. Will do.
All right, we have our guest here for the day, and we're going to be talking about Endo the Blind Appaloosa, who's become very popular on Facebook. And Endo is kind of difficult to converse with, so we thought we'd bring Morgan Wagner in, who is Endo's mommy. And Morgan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
It's so much fun to have you on and talk a little bit about your amazing Appaloosa. Tell us a little bit about Endo and how did Endo come to be blind?
I got Endo when he was a baby. My grandma was a breeder and she told my sister and I to each pick out a horse. I chose Endo and he's been with me ever since. He started having eye problems when he was about 8 or 9. The vets started helping me treat his flare-ups and diagnosed him with equine recurrent uveitis.
Oh, moon blindness.
And so yes.
Yeah.
And the vet was out almost every month and we were trying to get his flare-ups under control. And he started getting into so much pain, he stopped eating and hiding in the corner. And then that's when we made the decision to take out his eyes for pain relief.
So what exactly happens with moon blindness?
They don't know what causes it. There are some theories like leptospirosis infections, and they cannot go out in the sun because that makes flare-ups more likely to happen. And it's just painful flare-ups with swelling, inflammation in the eye. And each flare-up destroys the eyesight.
Hmm. So they do go blind on their own. It's not just the light sensitivity that happens, but they end up going blind on their own?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you actually had his eyes then eventually removed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And is that the common thing to do? I don't know much about moon blindness, so that's why I'm asking.
No, that was about 3-4 years ago.
Okay.
And they removed one eye and then the other one about 6 months later.
Ah, okay. And at that point, you must have been thinking, well, what am I going to do with this horse or what's he going to be able to do? What went through your mind at that point?
Take it step by step. I was happy if he would just eat without pain.
Mm-hmm. So
now,
with
this leading up to kind of, you know, that it's going down this particular road, did that kind of change the way that you worked him or trained him, or did you just kind of back off everything?
After I didn't know the first eye was going to come out until a couple of days up to it. And then afterwards, the vet told me to get him ready because the second one's probably going to need to come out soon. And so I started blindfolding him to get him ready. And the first time he stood and shook, he didn't want to take a step. I got him to take about 10 steps and then I took the blindfold off. And then by the third time we practiced, he figured out how to take the blindfold off. Not really taking much time with that.
So much for that idea.
Yeah.
So that's a really good idea, just to kind of start to get him used to it. So at any point, were you like, I need to pull the plug, or were you like, I'm going to fight this to the end? You can be honest.
I never thought that. I thought I may have to if he was a danger to people or himself, but mm-hmm. I never felt like I need to call the vet and schedule, you know,
yeah.
The appointment.
Yeah, just kind of take it one day at a time, I guess. And it's like soon I have this young girl coming out here to ride a horse, and she has a disease where she's slowly losing her vision, and she did a blind bucket list of all the things, she's probably nine or 10 that she wants to do before she goes blind. And one of them is ride a horse. So I was sent her information. So they're going to come out hopefully right after Christmas and ride. And so did you have a blind bucket list with Endo?
No, it happened very quickly before I could do something like that.
Well, now you have one because what happened?
It hasn't stopped you.
So what happened after? Now you've had the second eye out, and what happened then? What did you continue to do?
I came to the barn the next day, and he was moving around his stall like he could see.
Oh, wow.
And then so I started taking it one step at a time. You know, first we're going to go out the stall a little bit and then down the aisleway and then walk around the arena a little bit. And he was fine. The only thing that I had a problem with that I didn't know about was once the eyes came completely out, he had a trouble with circles and dizziness. Even mostly blind, he was able to do them, but without being able to see light or dark, he couldn't maintain his balance.
Hmm. Wouldn't think about that, right? Yeah.
So what did you do?
Practice, lots and lots of practice. I do liberty work with him, so we practiced on relearning that with just voice commands instead of body language cues.
But now I've seen videos of you riding him since, so you've gotten to that point, and now you're out competing too?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about what you're doing.
We do working equitation, and it has a couple phases and involves dressage and obstacle work, and he really likes the obstacle phases, especially the jump and doing all the lead changes.
Yeah, okay, now he can't see it, so desensitizing must be easier.
Say that again?
I said desensitizing him must be easier because he can't see the noodles and all of the other stuff and the obstacles.
No, he can smell them. And then if the other horses make breathing that says they're scared, he puts his head up and he's listening. He's like, what is it? What is it? Tell me what's there. What is it? So we had to do lots of work with other type of things like that.
So how does one jump a blind horse then?
Carefully.
I taught him to, it's actually pretty safe. I taught him to jump from a standstill, and then I just say the cue word, and it's jump, jump. And I always come jump the same height, the height we have to do in competition. And then if it's higher, I let him touch it with his nose first, and then he remembers it's taller when he jumps over it. And I recently started to teach him to jump without stopping, but I will never do a solid object jump, I think, with that.
Wow, it's amazing.
Gotcha. Now, you guys are facing some competitive challenges, from what I understand, as far as rules go.
Yes, but it worked out okay in the end. I mean, I'm going to be able to compete with We United still, and I enjoy competing at their shows. It's a really good atmosphere.
Yeah. Tell us what that is. I don't even know what that is.
We United?
Yeah, I have no idea what that is.
Oh, it's a Working Equitation Association.
Ah, gotcha. Okay.
So they put on the shows and we compete. It's a good group of people.
Gotcha.
But Glenn, there was a lot of other groups that have started to outlaw blind horses. And to me, I just think they're scared. I mean,
well, liability wise, you think that?
No.
That's
like, you know what? If I go to a show and my little Mustang gets beat by a big fancy warm blood, it's like, I got beat by the big fancy warm blood. You go to a show and you get beat by the blind horse. Feel like an idiot. And I think they're scared, and that's why they were trying to outlaw it. So I'm glad We United isn't afraid.
I never thought about it that way. But it's amazing. You know, you said your horse puts his nose down and touches the jump and then remembers. You know, sometimes I don't think we give them enough credit for how smart they really, really are.
Oh, they're really smart. Endo knows about 40 voice cues right now.
Which was the hardest to teach him?
The Spanish walk, because he picks his legs up high for that every time I say the word leg, and he doesn't understand why he can't just walk forward. He has to walk with his legs going up high. That took almost a year for him to do it slowly. He'd sometimes stomp his feet, like put his feet down. But everything else was pretty quick. The jump cue only took a couple days.
Do you think he's learning it quicker because he's blind, or do you think that he would have learned it this quickly anyway?
He learns really, really quick. I taught him the word yes for a cookie, and he learned that in 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's one they always
so
learn quick.
Quicker when there's food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do, too. Yeah. I think we all learn quicker when there's food. Well, Morgan, where can people find him and follow his progress and everything?
He has a Facebook page called Endo the Blind. And then if you just do a Google search, videos and pictures will pop up, too. I'm working on a website right now, and that will be up soon, too.
You know, there are Endo has 70,000 likes on his Facebook page, so he has quite a following, and we're so glad that you got to tell his story this morning. I saw that you had him all.
Here they come. Yeah. DreamWorks is going to call.
Yep. There'll be a movie in the making. Disney's calling anytime. I saw your picture of him in his Christmas wreath and his little hat, and he looks so cute. So congratulations on not giving up on Endo, and for doing what you've done with him, and for really making him a star, and for Endo for all his hard work and, you know, keeping on. And good job to both of you.
Thank you. And thank you for having me.
Merry Christmas to Endo. Give him a big hug and a carrot for us, okay?
Okay, I will.
All right. Thanks, Morgan. You can find it, just search for Endo the Blind on Facebook, and you'll find Endo's Facebook page. You know, it just is incredible what horses will do for you.
It just is. It's awesome. And she must be just a wonderful trainer and just be able to communicate so well with her horse. It's awesome. I've been following them for a long time, so it's kind of interesting to finally get to talk to her and see how she does it. Because you basically what pops up on my Facebook feed is all these amazing things he's doing. But like, how do you do those amazing things? I can't get my dang sightseeing horses to do half that stuff.
It's true. You know, the Spanish walk, she said. Well, I was thinking, well, that's the hardest for any horse. It's not just.
I taught Thor that, and he just stomps at me. Like, stomps for the cookie.
It's true. Well, let's take a break for a song I have for you today. I thought we'd play a little. The reason I'm playing a little Templeton Thompson and not playing one of the voicemails that we got is because this week in all your feeds for all the different shows, you're going to get the voicemail episode. It is going to be coming out in the next couple of days across all the different shows. This was the voicemails I put together from this year's Radiothon and a couple from last year. But it's just the songs and a couple of the poems. And in that, Jamie, I had 43 tracks in that sound file. When I told Dave that, he said, I have never done one that big. And it is 43 tracks. It's an hour of entertainment by our listeners for our listeners. And that's coming out this week. So I thought, instead of spoiling any more, you're going to hear them in a couple of days. I thought I would give you a little Templeton Thompson with Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. And then we're coming back with Leslie from the Wacky World of Horses. Mary's going to be here. We have some big announcements on the Mongol Derby front. All of that coming up yet on today's show.
A merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay. From now on, our troubles will be miles away. And here we are, as in olden days, happy golden days of yore. Faithful friends who are dear to us, gather near to us once more. Through the years, we all will be together if the fates allow. Hang a shining star upon the highest pile. If the fates allow, hang a shining star upon the highest bough. Oh, and have yourself a merry little Christmas.
Templeton Thompson, Merry Little Christmas. You know, anything to get the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse song out of my head, that was just perfect. So what a beautiful song. Seriously.
None of that was in the Polar Express, right? That song wasn't there.
That song was not, but it was on the TV when I went to turn it on. So Lucas, who's awake right now and very helpful, woke up. So TempletonThompson.com. You can find all her. She just does the best Christmas songs.
And thank you so much to all of the musicians who allow us to play their songs all year long.
Absolutely.
And Merry Christmas to them all. Jared, of course, helped out at the holidays for the Radiothon and actually wrote the opener and performed it at no charge, I'll add. So we really appreciate him doing that for Radiothon. He didn't have to. He did it because he loves Jamie. I don't think he cares about me, but he loves Jamie. So
we love each other. Yeah. It's mutual.
So he did that for you, for all of us.
I just got like little butterflies in my tummy when you said that.
Well, you know what? I wrote to him and I said, this is for Jamie. Would you do it for Jamie? I don't think he cares about any of the rest of us, but he did it for you.
He's so sweet.
He's a good guy. And, you know, he would have done it anyway. He really appreciates the fact that we play his music and promote him all the time. And Jared, I just think, is just a really nice guy. So,
yeah.
So that's the reason he does it. And we have a whole bunch. We're going to have we are closed between Christmas and New Year's. And Wednesday will be our last live show. Tomorrow we have the Certified Horsemanship Association for you. And then Wednesday, of course, we'll just have a party. And
sounds good.
And Victoria will be here. And then we do have shows for you. Jennifer has been working very hard. Let's give Jennifer a round of applause at getting all the best ofs ready. She put together some fun best of episodes for you over the holidays. And we have some new shows. We recorded All Hosts, and Jamie was joined us for part of the time from the parking lot at the bowling alley on vacation. So
you can't make that stuff up.
No. So yeah, thank
parking
you.
Parking lot at the bowling alley. That's a first.
Yeah. So thank you for doing that and for joining us while you were on vacation. The All Hosts episode was fun. It'll be out next week on all the different feeds as well. So that was a good time. And we have all kinds of shows for you planned on all the other feeds as well. Some announcements that we were able to make is that the Plaid Horse is breaking off of the Horses in the Morning. You heard that probably on their episode over the weekend. The Plaid Horse will be doing its own weekly show on the Horse Radio Network starting in January. So we'll have coverage of the jumping world there. Tanya Johnson, who was a big hit here, filling in for you on Wednesday. Tanya's terrific when it talks about the medals.
I know. I heard they wanted to replace me.
Well, she was really good, but she's definitely got the mental side of riding down, and she's going to be coming on. They don't need to replace you because she's doing once a month with the Plaid Horse. So she'll be doing an entire episode once a month, and she will be looking for listeners to join in on the conversation there. So take a look for that. And I know she was able to help a couple of listeners on Wednesday, and they really appreciated it. She's so smart.
I want to have her on. Right? Yeah. Talk to me.
You can join in. You can be one of the ones volunteering for help. But she's going to be doing that with the Plaid Horse once a month. So that's kind of nice, talking about the mental side of riding. And then what other big news do we have coming up in? There was another big piece of news, and I totally forgot what it was. Maybe Jennifer can remember. Coming up in January. I don't know. I was working on issues we had with the websites all weekend, so I'm kind of brain dead.
Hey, I got a news story for you.
Yes.
You know, Charlotte Desjardins, like you have to say the a name retirement. After Charlotte. So you know Charlotte.
Yeah, she's a one name person now. She's like, huh? She's one name now, just Charlotte.
She's just Charlotte. Yes. I mean, she's that famous in Europe.
Did you watch
with non-horse people
the retirement video with her riding? Oh my God.
No, I haven't watched it yet, because I haven't really been able to sit down at the computer until this morning, and I thought, I don't need to be.
You need
a
to cry.
Mess.
You will have your tissues.
No, I will. Well, this is really cool. She's actually going to continue to keep riding Velegro on her exact replica of Velegro rocking horse that her fiance gave her. It is the cutest thing. He actually had made a Velegro rocking horse, but like an adult size.
Oh, really?
Horse. It's adorable. I'll post a link on our Horses in the Morning page so you can see the picture.
Do you think that they'll actually get married now?
I don't know, but she did say when she got on, she finally got on him in front of the crowd. There was a big crowd that he presented it to her in, and she said, I don't know, he feels a bit stiff today. I love it.
I bet you there was not a dry eye in the house for that little retirement. We'll find out. Well, Victoria was there. We'll find out from her on Wednesday.
Well, there's another little video clip that I saw of them, and she's standing after the retirement ceremony holding him with his bridle on, and the reporter starts to ask her, and Blueberry's just standing there like, whatever, no big deal, I'm retiring, all these people are here for me, I don't care. And you just stand there very docile, and the reporter asks her a question about getting a replacement, and he literally moves his muzzle, Velegro moves his muzzle into her face and goes and spit through like blue snot right in her face. And she's like wiping it off of her neck and everything. I'm like, it happens. Celebrities, they're just like us.
He was letting you know, nobody can replace me.
Nobody's going to replace me. Who
don't even
kidding?
Try. I'm not sure Velegro really wants to retire, to be honest with you. He still looked pretty on form the other night.
Yeah, I know. I know. And they're going to still be riding him. It's not like they're going to turn him out in a pasture and, you know,
it's not like the race horses where they never ride him again, pretty much. But
yeah, you know. But basically they're just going to keep him in, you know, in shape, but just not in that shape, because you have to train all the time nonstop to do things like him. I mean, I'm assuming I've never, never been there, but I'm assuming it's a lot of work.
Well, I have the final study show. Would you like to hear that for the year?
Oh, Lord, I don't know. Usually you make fun of me in it.
This is the final study show for 2016. And this is the point where I just usually look back at Google, put in study show, look at the last month, and see what we're wasting our money on this month. And here we go. Studies show that vaping isn't the solution to smoking. Okay, we spent...
Yeah, I don't see how anybody who, like, vapes... thinks that you're getting away with anything.
I don't either. I mean, I always wondered that.
The studies are like, yes, you may not have whatever, but you're going to get what's called popcorn lung. Like, what? I don't want popcorn lungs.
It's the same. I don't see why it's any different, to be honest. I do think it smells a little better for us people that don't smoke. It's not as terrible as cigarettes, but...
It's disconcerting, though, because the amount... of stuff that comes out of somebody who's vaping, I'm like, I don't even know. Like, that went to your toes. That had to. I'm not going to put all that in your lungs.
Well, we spent a lot of money studying that when Jamie and I could have told you the answer. Studies show there is no such thing as an aphrodisiac. Sorry, guys. Study says there's no aphrodisiac.
That's a lie. That's a lie. You know what's an aphrodisiac? Watching my husband clean stalls. They didn't study that. I bet they didn't put that in their study.
You don't need oysters, do you? That was a good one, Jamie. Studies show magic mushrooms ease anxiety in cancer patients. Well, they also ease anxiety in anybody. I don't know why cancer patients would be any different.
Take you out.
Studies show smartphones are hurting relationships. No kidding.
Yeah, my husband tell you that. Could you put the phone down?
Yeah. Yeah. He Jennifer will tell you that too. New studies show exercise might actually be the best hangover cure. Now, who volunteered to get a hangover and then go exercise? The reason
I think they're just lying to you. And like, let's see if we can mess with anybody.
Yeah. The reason that that's never going to be proven true is nobody feels like exercising when they have a hangover.
No.
No. Studies show female athletes suffer from more concussions, which I found interesting. And I read the article, and basically it didn't say more concussions. It said that they have worse concussions. The headline was written wrong.
Really?
That concussions are worse in females than they are in males, which I thought was interesting. But that also the study showed that they are not studying female concussions as much as they are male because of football and all that. So... I thought that was interesting because the females we've known that have had concussions, Tammy and another one of our friends who has had multiple concussions, they do seem to be worse in females and last longer.
They didn't need to do a study. No, then they could have just asked you.
They could have just asked me. We know lots of people that had their head bunked. studies show that couples wait until after the holidays to divorce, with filings peaking in March. So,
really?
Yeah. So if you think you have it good now, just wait till March to be sure. It could be over.
You're not out of the clear till March is through.
That's right. When you get past March, you're good for the rest of the year.
I love it when, I talk to my mom and I'm like, oh, I'm so frustrated with Chad. He just did this thing. And she's like, you better be nice. Like, he's a jerk too, Mom. I'm not the only one. You better be nice, Jamie.
Like you're it. You're the only one that has problems.
My mom's like, he's gonna leave you. You got it good. Yeah.
Shut up, Jamie. Just bow down.
Don't say anything. Don't have an opinion. You just take it because
that's
he's
right.
Amazing.
And you better cook dinner tonight too.
If you get divorced, we're keeping him.
You're out.
You're out. Thanks,
probably,
Mom.
Your whole family probably feels that way. I kind of feel that way. He is cool. I mean, he's
fine. And now our new host, of course,
our new host is Chad. Hey, you know what? He was very popular in his interview, too. It's the most popular interview we did at Radiothon. So watch out, Jamie. Your mom's not the only one.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Yeah. He heard about that, too. I appreciate it.
Studies show that Japan celebrates Christmas with Kentucky Fried Chicken. They love Kentucky Fried Chicken in Japan. I don't know why, but that's one of the biggest selling countries of Kentucky Fried Chicken is Japan.
Really?
Yes. I've heard that before. This isn't the first study to show that. And that's what they eat. You know how we eat turkey and all that's traditional on and ham on Christmas Day? They eat Kentucky Fried Chicken. I don't know. Wow. It's just a thing.
Can we even call that a study? No, that's just some sales statistics. That's not a study.
Studies show that depressed children may respond less robustly to gifts. Yes, they did a study to show your depressed child isn't as excited about his gifts.
What? How did they? All right, gather around, depressed children.
Yeah, here's your gifts. Let's see what they do. Yeah, I know.
That's weird.
I know. And then studies also show that children prefer to wreck your house when you're on the phone. Is that true, Jamie?
Or when you're doing a radio show. He calls it mommy's work.
Mommy's
work? Mommy, are you done working yet? Mommy, quit working.
Well, at least we got to the point where he realizes this is work now and you're not just talking on the phone.
I'm pretty sure he just thinks I'm talking to this red ball on the desk.
You're talking to nobody. Nobody's at the other end.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, three more. Studies show diet soda contains a chemical to boost your appetite. So you may be getting less sugar, but you're going to be eating a whole lot more cake.
That is so true. They say like it doesn't quench any thirst. It just makes you hungry and thirstier and all that.
There you go. Ugh. Studies show what is your dog's favorite TV show. They did a study to find out what your dog's favorite TV show is.
Awesome.
Yep. And then they did a study.
So what was it?
I don't know. I didn't read it.
You can't lead with that. I need more.
I'm sorry. I didn't read it. I didn't look. I thought it was a ridiculous study. All right. Let's do this. Let's get Leslie on for her final appearance of the year.
Oh, no.
But she's not there. Leslie, where are you? Let's just call her phone because her Skype never works anyway. So we'll just give her phone. Oh, wrong Leslie. Let's delete that. Here I am trying to call the wrong Leslie.
We'll just sit here and wait for you. Okay. I mean, geez.
Oh, let's try this. Let's see if she's actually there. We can never get her on Skype, so. She lives in Tennessee. They don't have it.
I've got a news story if you want while you're doing all that. I'll tell Jennifer. Oh, is she here?
Wait a minute. Is she here? Is Leslie here?
Who, me?
Yes! Yay! We did it! We got Leslie! Wait a minute. For the last time this year. TSO to lead you out, Leslie. And now, coming to us live from Horse Nation, our own Rockin' Elf, Smiley Wiley, with the Wacky World of Horses.
Hi, Smiley Wiley.
Aw, that brought a little tear to my eye.
It's okay.
Happy almost Christmas.
Happy almost Christmas to you, too. Now, before we get on with your stuff, we have a big announcement, and Mary's going to be joining us shortly. You're not alone in the Mongol Derby.
Thank God.
Dr. Wendy Ying is going to be joining you, and she's a veterinarian and a traditional Chinese medicine doctor, so she can fix your horse and you when you both get thrown off down a cliff. And also, Mary Kitzmiller we got three people from the Horse Radio Network.
That is a team.
Mary's going to be...
Is Mary on here yet?
No, she's going to be joining us in a couple of minutes.
So you just made the announcement for her then, you big jerk.
Well, the announcement was already made. She posted it everywhere. So
let me just take a moment to say that I submitted an application and always a freaking bridesmaid, never the bride.
Well,
do you know,
Wendy has
you
a
guys
theory.
Submitted your, no, let me finish. You submitted your application and bing. I've got an email for an interview and then an interview. Oh my God, I got selected. Do you know what I keep hearing? Crickets. Nothing. Not a damn word from these people. And I'm pissed and I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm mad.
Well, you won't be as mad when you find out that Wendy said they have to cough up $5,000 by the end of next week. Did you have to do that too, Leslie?
I did, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's not making Wendy and Mary very happy.
So, yeah, well.
So, Jamie, there's that.
There's that upside.
Well, where did Princess go? Did you find her a nice home? Nice family. Oh, that's pretty tough. That's brutal. I mean, gosh. Yeah, that's good because like $5,000 at Christmas time.
Yeah.
It just, you don't have that sitting around.
Nope.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see who makes it through the cut next week. Now, Wendy had a theory why Jamie didn't get picked, Leslie, and see if you agree with this. She said she understood from her telephone call that they were checking people's Facebook pages, and they probably saw she had a kid because she posts 5,000 pictures of Lucas. So
you don't think it's the fact that I post 5,000 pictures of chickens, and they're like, whew, she's a little crazy.
I think it would have been worse if you posted 5,000 pictures of cats, actually, but... I think that's why. I think they're really concerned about you dying and leaving your child, and that's bad press.
Yeah, I actually think that might be. I don't know. You know, I think that seems legitimate. You
they
know.
Could have at least emailed and talked to me about it. Not like I was going to bring him. Hey, here, you ride this one. Oh, I'll ride this one.
By the way, on the bringing him front, they also, Wendy asked about Kyle wanted to go, and they said he can meet you at the finish line, but not even at the start line.
Oh, no. So what about our party van?
Party van has to meet you at the finish line. Apparently, party van's not allowed at the start.
We have this great plan. I think a lot of people are on board to come just follow us around in a party van with us.
Apparently, they're really strict about not wanting you to get help on the route. Yeah. No.
Oh, they think she's going to cheat.
No delivery of candy and chocolate cake on the route. You're stuck with fermented yak's milk.
I thought it was just cool that you don't have to worry about booze because apparently it's provided.
If you like yak's milk.
If you're into fermented mare's milk, yeah. All you can drink.
Do we know what?
Bar.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Leslie, before we get Mary Kitzmiller on here in a minute, just tell us what's going on at Horse Nation one last time.
Well, we are in full-on Christmas countdown mode. We've got we have some holiday traditions. One of which is Kristen Kovach's phenomenal Christmas carols, holiday carols. Let's see, what do we've got? Some let's see, we've got "Oh Come All Ye Horse Poor." George Morris is coming to town to the tune of Santa Claus Coming to Town. And you'll just have to keep an eye on the side. They're just going to keep coming all week long.
Is somebody performing these, or are these just handwritten lyrics?
They're handwritten lyrics. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I'll record you if you want to sing them now, Leslie.
I mean, you know how I'm about my singing voice, you know.
Yeah, it's pretty darn good. So give it to us. Let's go. Let's see.
Give us one, Leslie. You got to give us one. How about George Morris is Coming to Town?
I'll sing it with you. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Oh, you better watch out. You better not cry. Are you singing?
You better not pout.
I'm telling you why. George Morris is coming to town. Like we're singing in rounds.
He's watching your horse and checking it twice. You're going to find out if it's really that nice. George Morris is coming to town. He sees your every mistake, like when you miss a lead. He hates it when you're sloppy, so get a hairnet, yes indeed. You better ride well. You better get strong. He'll probably yell at what you do wrong. George Morris is coming to town.
Very well done. That's very well written, too.
Yeah.
And if you heard Radio, if you heard Radiothon, you know how grumpy he is about the holidays. So I don't really don't like Christmas.
I don't really do holidays. Okay.
Okay. All right.
All right. This interview just got shorter.
Yeah.
God, I love them. I love it. And Glenn's like, we got to edit that out. I'm like, no way. That stays. That's amazing.
No. That's classic. George Morris being grumpy about Christmas. I mean,
perfect.
Gold, Jerry. Gold.
Jennifer just got it.
Oh, I'm laughing at the way she laughs.
Oh dear. Yep. So lots of holiday content coming your way all week long. So we count it down. It's gonna about to get real festive up in here.
Yeah, I was speaking of getting real festive up in here, while you're getting your festive on, you're gonna get your cry on because you guys posted the most amazing commercial ever. And I wish they would play stuff like this on TV because everybody would buy Purina. And it is called A Purina Holiday Wish for a Horse Named Sam. Oh, I can't even, I'm looking at the screenshot of it. And I'm getting goosebumps. It was so beautiful and so sad and so wonderful at the same time. And I just can't. It's so good. And your title of the article is "Get ready to cry tears of joy over Purina's holiday commercial, Sam." Why don't they put these on TV?
You had 25,000 views on that.
Yeah, 25,000 people just crying, sitting at their computers,
crying their eyeballs out.
Yep.
Mary Kitzmiller's with us. Were you crying your eyeballs out at the Purina commercial? Have you seen it yet?
Okay, I can't bring myself to see it yet. My mom was watching it the other day, and I just saw the very end, and I was already crying. I didn't need to know any context. It was just a horse and a little girl, and that stuff gets me every time. So I do need to see it, but probably late at night where no one can see my tears.
Be ready, because it's an ugly. you will ugly cry. You know, we all have a cry and a tears, and then we go, that's me. And then there's the ugly cry. And that's what I did.
That's 100% of my crying, like choking on my own spit and wheezing.
Remind me never to take you to a sappy
Kardashian
movie.
I have Kim Kardashian cry face.
I bet you look better than her.
Mary, congratulations, yes. I think. Are you excited? Yeah. Are you scared? Are you nervous? Do you have $5,000? It's like,
oh my God, I'm all of the above. Yeah, so this just kind of happened. We talked about it on the show, and I thought, oh, that's really cool. I'd like to do that someday. And I didn't think much of it. And then a friend of mine actually posted it on her wall, the link to the application. She goes, oh, I really want to do this. And I look at the application and it's really short. I'm like, well, heck, I'll fill it out. And then they write me, they're like, we want to call you, send us pictures. I'm like, okay, yeah. I mean, what could that hurt? Send some pictures. So I send some pictures of me on Mustangs, and they're like, riding at speed. I'm like, oh, speed. Okay. So most of them were like at fast lopes. I'm like, I hope that works, you know? And the guy was like, oh my God, I love your pictures. Can I call you tomorrow? Like, yeah, okay, yeah, let's do this. And I have the interview. It went really great. And yeah, and then they sent me the email this morning.
Congratulations! I'm so excited. I'm going to have a buddy.
Yeah. Oh, a my crazy gosh. Buddy. You'll have a buddy for 15 minutes until I get bucked off and leave my horse. Then I'll be in the SUV with some whiskey cheering you on.
does Mary know? Mary, do you know about the wine bra yet?
Yes, I do, but okay. I'm not into wine, so it'll be filled with Fireball.
Perfect. <She's going>
I actually said that in my interview, we talked about this on the show. You know, when I went to India, it was kind of like what they're telling me about Mongolia. You know, the guy was like, get to Mongolia early, get sick early before the ride. So it's not a if, it's a when. You're going to get mm-hmm. sick over there. And I said, you know, I said, when I went to India, it was the same thing. And I said, my mom and I were the only ones who in our tour who did not get sick. And it's because we did a shot of Fireball before and after every meal. So it kills two birds because it's supposed to like clean you out, you know, kill all the bad bugs. And then, you know, I was getting on a motorcycle every morning, driving on the left-hand side of the road on roads that did not have room for all the traffic. And you have to drive off the road. And it was crazy. And it gave me that little bit of extra courage to get on the bike. And mm-hmm. so
Oh my God. We are not condoning drinking and driving on the show.
This is India. It was cool.
It's allowed in India.
I'm sure it's illegal in India, too.
Well, and I tell you what, my adrenaline was so high, it did nothing to, like, curb my ability. You know, it was, yeah. So, but it was fun. We came back in one piece, but,
well, so, yeah, so I'm not like taking it. Fireball. I like the strategy. Well,
Wendy,
that's what got me through fox hunting with Martha. So not fireball, but something, you know, related substances. So.
You guys didn't know, Mary announced on her last episode last week that she did 2 weeks riding a motorcycle through India. So there's that.
That's what we're talking about,
Glenn. 6 months of experience, but I got my license on a motorcycle. So I took like a 3-day course on a bike. It's the first time I ever rode a motorcycle, but I didn't have a motorcycle to practice. I had a moped, a little Honda. Yeah. So that's how I practiced for India for riding. And I ended up riding like a one of those Honda Ninja crotch rocket things. I didn't ride the Royal Enfields. I rode. And so my practice was riding through this sweet suburban little Texas town in the hill country where everyone drives 40 miles an hour on a moped. And then I went to India and drove on the left-hand side of the road.
Well, again, that's great. That's great. That's amazing and awesome and stuff. But you're talking about wild Mongolian ponies here.
Yeah, but if you think about it, Mary's had the most experience breaking horses. So she should be, this should be nothing.
She has an advantage.
Yeah.
Yeah, but hers don't go crazy because they're all super calm by the time she gets on. She's just gonna have to compress all that training into 15 minutes.
Yeah,
exactly. Well, actually, you know, I've been lightly Facebook stalking some past competitors and watching videos obsessively on YouTube, and I think a mistake would be to try to train these horses or like try to do a one rein stop or anything like that. I think where you're going to survive is your actual ability to stick on a horse, and so I'm going to get my old close contact $200 collegiate saddle out and pull the stirrups off. And I actually have a Mustang. His name is Chompers. And he's like 13 hands tall. He looks like a Mongolian wild pony. And he acts like one. Once you're on him, you're fine. Mm-hmm. He just doesn't like to be near you.
Can Leslie come over and practice?
Yeah. Hey, I got a mess of horses. They're all in project stage. They're all a little half crazy. There's tons of trails. Come over anytime and practice.
Yeah, you know, I'm just thinking, oh, you said to pulling your stirrups off. I'm like, forget no stirrup November. We need to have no stirrup 2017. Like, just start now.
Yeah.
So here's the inflatable vest. I have questions.
Yes.
I have questions.
Go okay. On. So we've got Wendy, we've got Leslie, and we've got Mary. And all three of you are going to go to this epic adventure, and you're going to ride across Mongolia on wild horses. Are you guys going to fight each other, or are you going to stick together?
We're going to stick together, I feel like. You know, the first thing that popped in my mind was that Beyonce song. You know,
All the single ladies.
From her latest album, Lemonade, Formation. Okay, ladies, now let's get in formation.
I love
you know
it.
What I'm talking about?
That'd be your theme song.
Actually, I was thinking of doing the very cliche every person on a reality show ever. And you there's always the line, I'm not here to make friends.
Yeah, that's my no.
Well, let me give you some help with this. Wendy was the last one to talk to them, and last night, and he told her that they want the three of you to become a unit and to travel together because there have been issues with single people being robbed.
All the single ladies.
He told me the same thing. Yeah.
So they're kind of hoping you form a team. Like, they're encouraging teams this year.
Until the finish line.
If you're going to get raped and murdered, get raped and murdered as a group.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying. Exactly.
Oh,
By the way, Wendy is on a call right now, or she would have been on the phone today with all the encouragement in the world. She's hoping for a group. She wants me to contact them and try and say, we'll do a podcast. You guys three will do a podcast in exchange for 100% discount.
Do it.
Yeah, but I don't think that's, don't count on that one there, people.
It doesn't hurt to ask.
But I think you guys should do a podcast once a month here. You should all, the three of you, host it. You can interview people who were on before, do a once a month show. Are you up for it?
It's a great idea.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You guys can host it. What do you think, Leslie? You in?
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, good, all in.
Good.
Since cool. This whole, like, you know, having a baby thing has changed my life and ruined it as far as riding in Mongolia, I will be your number one fan and listener and cheerleader. I wish they would just freaking email me and be like, listen, you have a kid. Instead of making me just sit here and check my email every 5 minutes.
Well, look at it this way. You don't have to come up with $13,000. There's that.
They don't know I don't have the money. They don't know. They looked at your Facebook page.
Yeah, they looked at your Facebook horses. Page.
They know you have no money.
Yeah.
That was one of the questions. They were like, the interview was actually, it wasn't like, why do you want to do this? Why do you think you're an adventurer? It was like, ride with someone because there's bandits and wild dogs, and how are you going to pay for it? And but it was a lot of advice, you know, about like, okay, get there early.
Talk you out of it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I asked the guy. The guy was really cool. One of the race managers, and he was really awesome. And I've actually been on his Facebook, and looks like he's ridden reindeer through my. It's really cool guy. And we were talking, and I forgot where I was going with this. But yeah, it was a lot of advice. And I asked him, he said, do you have any questions for me? I said, okay, about this risk thing, you know, with horse people, like those of you eventers, if you were to describe your sport to someone who's not familiar and how risky it is and what can happen and what does happen to people, people would be like, why are you doing that? Why would you do that? But you've done it and you're kind of like, yeah, I understand. I'm very realistic about it, but, you know, I know what I'm doing. And so I kind of asked him, I'm like, how much of this is horses? You know, the fact that I could get kicked in the teeth by any horse at any given time. And how much of it is Mongol Derby? And he said, well, we're not sending you to your deaths. Like, you don't know that.
Well, if you haven't, Mary, please go back and listen to last Monday's segment that we did with Leslie. Okay, because I feel like she would be a really good person for you guys to kind of continue to talk to. She trained, like, she trained her gastric system for this ride, not only just her riding and all that, and just good to talk to somebody. So y'all definitely do a podcast, because I'm feeling like the bridesmaid. And not the bride. And I really want to follow along with y'all's conversations.
Awesome. Well, there is a support crew. You can come and get sick for a fraction of the price.
Oh, that sounds great. Yeah. I'm like feeling more like a bridesmaid than, you know, hold my boots. Wipe my horse's mouth. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No.
Well, I hate to ruin this party, but before we run out of time, Mary is also here to give us a review. She's our official movie reviewer and movie expert. Leslie, do you want to hang around for the review of Star Wars, or you want to bail?
Please.
You want to hang around? Good.
Yeah.
All right, good. So, Mary, you went and saw it, and Mary is a movie fanatic. She knows everybody has been in the movie. She's seen them all. And you're also a geek and a bit of a nerd. So what was it like, a Star Wars fan? Now, no spoilers, because we haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, and this movie is very dependent on plot, so you don't really want to give away too many plot details. Well, I'm a fringe Star Wars fan in that I saw the movies when I was a kid. I'm a little fuzzy on details, but I know the basic gist. And of course, I did see the prequels, but we don't talk about that. So all in all, I really liked this movie. I thought the pacing was really good. It was kind of, you know, really fast paced, a lot of action. It kind of felt like you were in a first-person shooter video game half the time. So it was a great movie. I really enjoyed it. I think if you're not into Star Wars, you know, as a standalone film, you're still going to really like it. I would say overall it was awesome. I'd probably give it an A or a B plus. I don't have any special system, but it's the only thing I would kind of dog it on is they had a really phenomenal cast. They had these great actors. They had Donnie Yen, who's this amazing martial artist. They had Diego Luna, who's a fantastic actor.
Wasn't Felicity Jones the head? Isn't she the head girl? The main?
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, they had this really, really insanely good cast that they didn't really do much with. I don't think they gave them a lot of room to shine. I don't think they developed the characters as much as I would like to have seen. You know, there's actually a really cool test that the original Star Wars sort of passes, where if you take the main characters and you are not allowed to use things to describe them, like wardrobe or gender, or, you know, appearance, could you identify them? So, like, for the original Star Wars, if I were to say, you know, okay, this character's really fussy, who would you immediately think of? Probably C-3PO. Yeah, exactly. Or this character is brash. That'd most likely be Han Solo.
Han Solo, yeah.
And you couldn't, yeah, you know, you could do that with most of the main characters of Star Wars. They, you know, the characters
which
really
character
cool
was annoying, everybody?
All of them. No.
Jar Jar Binks.
Jar Jar Binks.
Which character could they have shot at the beginning of that and done without? Jar Jar Binks.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Well, there was no Jar Jar in this one. So that was, I didn't think so anyway. So you couldn't really do that so much with this movie. I actually didn't remember most of the names of the characters by the end. This is one of the films I didn't obsessively study before watching it. I like to kind of get brushed up on who's directing, and I didn't really do that with this one. So there was that. But all in all, it was a really great movie. There was a lot of action. I thought it did a really great job of kind of filling in, you know, in the original Star Wars, if you are kind of obsessive about it, you do wonder, like, where did Princess Leia get, you know, get the Death Star plans? And, you know that much happens, so that's not a spoiler. And this kind of shows that story, like how they were able to do that. And so all in all, I really liked it.
Oh, can't wait. Can't wait to go see it.
Have you seen it yet?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, man, I thought you saw
it.
No,
we're going to see it on vacation. Have you seen it, Leslie?
I haven't.
Yes. Got to go see it.
I just tuned out for that entire thing. I didn't want to know anything. What'd you say? Where am I? What happened?
I have to say, I think I almost liked it better than Force Awakens.
Yeah, you know, I did a review on that after. I was kind of disappointed in it only because it was an exact copy. But so, and this one kind of goes outside the series, right? It's kind of outside of.
Yes.
Yeah.
It still felt very Star Wars. They didn't do the typical rolling credits in the beginning because, you know, it's supposed to be a Star Wars story, but not, you know, not a regurgitation of Star Wars.
Right.
So it still had the feel.
Maybe
I'll
like it
better.
The score
was amazing. I'll have to double check. I think this might have been the first one that John Williams did not score, but it still really was a great, great music. You know, the music was But it had all the things you love about Star Wars, but it wasn't like Force Awakens. I think Force Awakens kind of had to be a, hey, we're, you know, Disney reassuring people, we're going to give you the Star Wars you remember. But it was a little like it hit every note exactly, a little too on the nose.
Right.
So I'm hoping the next one in the actual new trilogy is a little bit different. But
and
J.J. Abrams.
There's another one coming out, May, I think, the next one in next year. And then they're going to do three more, but I think the next one comes out pretty soon after this one. It's like in May.
Mm.
And it made almost $200 million over the weekend. So they'll keep coming out with Star Wars till it stops making $2 billion each.
Which will be never.
So, that's when they'll stop doing Star Wars, is when it stops making billions of dollars.
Yeah, so
it's going to be a movie about the great-great-great-great-great-great-grandkid of Princess Leia.
Yes.
It's actually, they're going to do up to like present day or whatever.
Oh, and you know, I will say there is some interesting cameos in this one that took a little bit of Hollywood magic to achieve. I'm not sure how I feel about them. I think it was pretty cool, actually.
That's enough. You've said enough.
I've said enough.
Shut up, Mary.
Okay, I'm shutting up. I'm really bad about spoilers.
Thank you, Mary, for doing that. And congratulations to the two of you, I think. I feel like the papa here who encouraged y'all to do it. And now I'm feeling guilty if y'all get hurt over there. So stay on your horses.
Remember, use this. If you're going to get raped and murdered, do it as a team.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, stick together.
That's your motto.
Raped together.
All right, guys. Thank you so much, Leslie, for being with us all this year and for hanging with us every Monday. We really appreciate it. And for Horse Nation and Eventing Nation and everybody over there, you're our good friends, and we love you guys and appreciate all you do and for being part of Radiothon and just Rolex, everything you do.
She's going to start a website, Mongol Nation.
I think there already is a Mongol Nation, like in Mongolia.
Hey, yeah. Hey, remember where the band, there's a band called Horse Radio. Jamie, you remember this? And it's in Mongolia.
They're Mongolian, yes.
Oh, whoa. My God. Whoa. We need them to do a theme song, yes! For you.
I wonder how we get a hold of them in their gurr out in the middle of the Mongolian steppes. Do you think they have a cell phone?
This is our smash hit called Murdered as a Team.
I don't think you're reassuring Mary here.
I'm just jealous.
Yeah, she's just trying to talk you guys out of it now. And Mary,
I love you guys. You guys are awesome.
Thank you, Leslie. You're great. We appreciate
see
it.
See you in 2017.
We'll see you then. And Mary Kitzmiller, thank you for being co-host this year, all this year. And everybody loves you. And we'll talk to you in 2017, too.
The second smash hit, the follow-up to Murdered as a Team is, I broke my ankle falling off my horse who stepped in a marmot hole.
Wow. Oh, good time.
Yeah, but you know what?
I'd be fine with an ankle.
If you were Boyd Martin, you would ride with that ankle broken.
This is the third smash hit is diarrhea is a real thing.
This won't happen to me. I've been carefully preparing my body for this by eating at McDonald's every chance I get since I was three. And Taco Bell.
Off the side of a horse.
I'm immune. Side
of a horse. I can puke off the side of a horse. That's your next smash.
Bye, everybody. See you tomorrow, Certified Horsemanship.
Pepto-Bismol is my best friend.
That's who's going to sponsor ibuprofen.